Hi everyone, welcome to today's session on online MSN to DNP degree and project proposal review. On the call today we have Andrew Martin, who is the DNP program director and associate professor at Regis. We also have Julie online, who is an admissions advisor here at Regis College. Today's agenda is divided into three segments. We'll begin with Julie, who will take us through the admissions requirements. Post that, we'll move on to Andrew, who will discuss about his current role at Regis, about the online MSN to DNP degree, and he'll also do a deep dive into what goes into a DNP project proposal. And finally, we'll open up the session for any Q&A. If you have any questions, please post them through the chat window, and we'll be happy to take them towards the end of the session. Okay, so we'll get started, and I'll hand it over to Jolie.
Thanks, Retta. So my name is Jolie. I am one of the admissions advisors here for the online nursing programs, and we're really excited to have everyone here today because the DNP essay is definitely one of the most challenging parts of our application. A lot of our students have a lot of questions about it, and I know our advisors work really hard to work with you through it, but what's great about today is we have our program director, Andrew, actually working with you to go over the essay and understanding more of how to put it together. The application process itself otherwise is actually quite simple. It is an online application form. It will ask you for your resume. Your first essay is about yourself. It's about your statement of purpose. And then the second essay is a DNP proposal itself. Other than that, it'll be your two recommendation letters, and the application fee at the end is going to be $75. It's not refundable. Outside of that, you'll be working with your advisor to submit your transcripts from all schools after high school, and then there'll be a few forms that they'll be sending to you to fill out. So you'll be working with your advisor quite closely throughout the process. So today we'll go over the essay questions for the DNP proposal. Andrew, do you want to take it away?
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome, and I'm excited that you're looking into Regis College to pursue your Doctor of Nursing Practice degree. A little history about me is I started out in nursing as a second career. I did an associate degree program for 2 years and immediately went into hospice and palliative care nursing, and had done that for over a decade. And a colleague, actually one of my former nursing instructors, asked me if I would be interested in teaching the deaf and dying class at a college in New England. This was face-to-face. I was very excited to do that with my hospice background, and the teaching bug suddenly was in me. So I wanted to do more teaching in nursing, but with an associate degree, that was not possible. So I went for an online Master of Nursing with an education background or track so that I could do more teaching. And upon receiving an online degree with my MSN in education, I've been adjunct teaching for the last decade for various colleges. And then recently, I was asked to pursue a DNP because that was going to be the required terminal degree for teaching at the master's level at these particular colleges. So that was my reason for going into the DNP. I did it online, so I have experience both as an online student and as an online instructor. And had I not received the DNP, I would not have this role at Regis College as an associate professor full-time and also the director of the DNP program. That's a little bit about me. Is everyone on the line in the master's to DNP track?
Yes.
Very good. The reason I ask is because we also have a BSN to DNP track. So part of your admission process is to do a DNP project essay. And this is basically your opportunity to share your passion for what you have as an identified nursing problem, probably in the clinical setting or in the academic setting. And your enrollment advisors will be giving you a guide for writing this essay. There are prompts that will guide you through the process. And probably what you need to keep in mind is that your project proposal is an opportunity to demonstrate your critical thinking skills about that problem that you want to address. And once you submit your project proposal as part of your admission process, it gives me, as the director of the DNP program, an idea of your critical thinking skills in regard to that. And once you're admitted to the program, this essay that you've written is no guarantee that this is the project that you're going to be doing. It basically is the jumping off point for when you start your first DNP scholarly practice project course. And as a master's to DNP, that happens in your very first semester that you're at Regis. And basically what happens is you are in a small class of 5 students with a faculty member who will guide you over 16 weeks in fine-tuning that essay that you started out with to come up with an actual project proposal that is feasible and achievable to do over a 3-term period while you're at Regis. So you do have a lot of support in the project, but this is your very first opportunity to share with the faculty and the admission review team to what your thoughts are. What is the problem that you're passionate about? Where do you think you're going to be doing this project? Do you have a mentor that you work with who might be helping you through the project on site? So those are some of the different things that you'll be addressing as you're writing this essay. And I look at it, the guidelines that you're given, just think of it as an assignment rubric, and just address each section of that essay guidelines as you're writing your paper. That's pretty much a brief overview of the process of that piece of the admission process that you'll be doing. I imagine all of you have had a chance to look at the guidelines for writing the essay. Are there any particular questions that come to mind?
No, I'm good. I actually submitted mine.
Great.
So I'm.
What is your topic? What is your passion that you're addressing?
Well, even though it's very, it's simulation in pediatrics, and even though there's been a lot written and there's a lot of materials available, in my practice, I just don't think of simulation in a meaningful way, both high fidelity, low fidelity, and all that. So in practice, it's just not, it's a tool that's not being implemented in a useful fashion. So I just want to kind of explore that more. I don't know if it's going to end up being my final project, but it's just something that's been bothering me. Because I've been a pediatric nurse for 3 years, and I've been a clinical instructor for many years, and I teach pediatrics at a college and at an associate's degree program, and it's just so challenging to fit in the curriculum enough time and to make these simulation experiences meaningful. So I just want to explore it more.
That sounds good. And keep in mind that your DNP projects are translational science. So basically you are looking at the evidence, which you have said that the evidence is out there. You're looking to see if there's a gap in the evidence. There may or may not be. But then how are you going to translate the evidence that's out there into a project to show that there's going to be a change in practice? So it sounds like your change in practice may be how you're delivering this education to the students in a more beneficial way.
You know what? Unfortunately, I lost about half of what you were saying, and now I think I'm back on audio. But I think I get the gist. I heard the very end.
We hear you. Did you have any specific questions that you might want to ask?
Hi, Andrew. This is Shweta. I was just thinking maybe it might be a good idea to just go through some of your strong proposals that you've probably received in the past from the students. Any examples that you'd like to share?
Well, basically, there's many different types of projects that students can do when we're looking at this translational science. Oftentimes, students will do quantitative studies, qualitative studies, mixed methods, project improvement. So probably just to give you some ideas, if someone were to do a quantitative study, we have a student that is studying the effects of regional anesthesia on 3 postoperative complications following total knee arthroplasty. if a student is thinking of doing something more qualitative, we have a student that's doing telemedicine effectiveness and managing chronic conditions. If you're thinking of maybe a mixed method study, there's a student who's doing improving LGBTQ curriculum in pre-licensure nursing program, transferring knowledge into practice. And a lot of our students do project improvements. There's a student that's doing implementation of a protocol to utilize the Medicare obesity benefit to address obesity in the older adult population. So basically, it's all about you as an individual. What is the burning issue that keeps you up at night at your practice setting, whether it is clinical or whether it's in academia? What is that that you really have a passion for? Because this project is going to be with you for probably 2 years or more, so it's something that you really want to be spending a lot of time with.
We do have a list of questions with us, which was submitted earlier by some of the students. So I would love to get your answers on those. So the first question is, how specific does the essay need to be in terms of the proposed outline?
So basically, as I mentioned before, this is your opportunity to demonstrate your passion for the issue, and the guidelines for the essay are pretty well spelled out. So my recommendation is to follow those prompts and address each of the components of the prompt. So you want to be as specific as you feel that you can be, but because this is just a proposal and it's a thought of what you want to do, you may not have all the answers at this point. You may not have a practice setting. You may not have a mentor. There's many different variables that will be ironed out once you're in that first NU 740 course, which is the Scholarly Practice Project 1 course. And as I mentioned before, you'll have a faculty who's working with 5 students to really take your idea and make it into something that's going to be achievable.
Okay, great. Another question is, are students allowed to include an anecdote of a personal experience as part of the introduction to the essay?
So basically, I keep going back to demonstrating your passion. So if you feel that you want to include a brief antidote as to what is going on in the practice setting to set it up, that would be fine. This is not at this point, this is not a scholarly written paper that's out for publication, but it should be professionally written. So I would just keep that particular section brief if you were to include it.
Great. Thanks for that. What's the best way to make sure all of the essay questions have been answered?
Again, I would go back to treating it as an assignment rubric. Take a look at the guidelines that your enrollment advisor is giving you. Follow each of those components that are spelled out. Hopefully, your enrollment advisor is doing an overview of your essay, not for content, but just to see that all the different components have been met before it's being submitted for review by faculty so that you are presenting your best foot forward.
Sure, great. Thank you. I have another question. How much time do you think students need to implement the project?
Well, it's basically geared upon the courses. So if you look at the progression of courses, NU 740 is the Scholarly Practice Project 1 course that I've been referring to, in which you're working with faculty to come up with an achievable project. You then move into the 2 research courses, because now that you know what your project is going to be, you're going to learn the tools that you will need to conduct your project. And then once you finish those 2 courses, you have 3 consecutive courses to, 1, implement your project. The next course, you will be collecting data. And the final course will be analyzing the data and then disseminating the results, whether that's a poster presentation, a podium presentation, presenting to the leadership at your clinical site, whatever that looks like. So basically, there are 6 consecutive courses in which you're working on your project, but it's the last 3 courses, each one is 16 weeks in length, in which you're actually implementing, collecting data, and analyzing data.
Awesome, thank you. I'd just like to stop here and ask the audience, are there any questions from anyone? Okay. Andrew, we also have one more question from one of the students. They asked, what do my mentors help with? How do I choose them? And should I write about their role in my essay?
So the DNP project team consists of a minimum of three people. It's your project chair, who will be the overseer of your project that hopefully you'll be working with through the whole process. You as the student is the second member, and the third member is your site mentor or your expert, content expert. And this is probably, I would consider, one of the most important members of your project team. This is a person that will mentor you through your project at the project site. And you may not know who this person is today or even when you start 740. However, it's good to be in conversation with that person because you may want to start inquiring about whether you're going to be able to conduct your project where you work. Or if you really haven't nailed down what that project's going to be, you could be talking to your supervisor and saying, no, what is that burning question that keeps us up at night that needs to be addressed? So you can get valuable input from that person before starting your project, and then that person will be very key during the implementation of the project. And if you need to bring in additional people into your team, that's also possible. Sometimes we bring in another content expert. We might bring in a statistician if necessary. Many other people could be part of your team, but it is the minimum of three people, but could be more than one. And your mentor probably is what I consider the person that you'll be working closely with of everyone in your team.
Hi, Andrew. It's Julie. So we definitely talk with our students, you know, when we speak to them about the essay, about how to choose their project and really contacting their, you know, employers or their supervisor to see, you know, what they need in a workplace, right? But some of the students will actually ask, you know, they already have a certain project that's already kind of in place or in progress, if they're able to use part of that as part of their DNP project to add on to it or do something related to it. What is your take on that?
So again, that's going to be individual as to where it is in the process. The DNP student needs to demonstrate leadership and needs to be able to implement a project that is going to show a measurable change in practice. So oftentimes, students will use retrospective data, so maybe they're looking at readmission rates within the last 30 days. So they could actually go back to the last 3 months or 6 months and see what the percentage is of readmissions within 30 days, and then decide what they're going to do for implementation. They may do a pretest with staff, find out what the needs are, provide education, do a post-test to show that there's been a change in knowledge, but that's not the end of the project. They then need to take it to the next step in which they're implementing change. So what do they need to do to show that there's going to be a change? So maybe from the education, there's a particular component that's now being addressed as part of discharge, and then monitoring to see if the staff is doing that intervention, and then doing a check to see how many readmissions there were over the next 30 days or 60 days. Was there a decrease in them because of this intervention? So maybe some of that has been started at the facility. Maybe they have that data to start out with, and then this is what we need to do with it. But you need to be able to implement a full project. And it can be starting small within a particular unit in the hospital. And then once you have your DNP, you can always take it to the next level. But you do need to demonstrate that. I keep talking about translational science, in which you're actually doing an implementation that is showing a change in practice.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew, I know you touched upon this, but we have another question, which is about, I'm not sure what topic to choose. Where should I start?
Again, I go right back to, what's the burning question that bothers you on a daily basis? How can you make a change where you work? So you have to have passion about what you're going to be doing. So This is not something that someone needs to tell you what to do. You need to know in your heart what is going to make a difference where you work. And then again, you can be talking to your supervisor. What are the issues? What are the problems that we have here? Are you passionate about any of those?
Okay, great. Thank you. I have one more question while we wait for Ruth. Students do ask, should they write in first or third person? Does it make a difference?
At this point, it should not make a difference. This is not a scholarly paper that's being published. So if they're more comfortable writing in first person, they can do that.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we have a question from Ruth. How many hours a week should I plan for the online classes and workload?
So basically, it's going to vary. There is a formula in the syllabi of the courses. I would have to look back to see. Courses are designed with by the credit. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Jolie, do you know what that information is?
Specific to the syllabus, I don't have insight to that, but generally we do tell students to spot at least maybe 25 to 30, if not more, hours per week if they're taking at least two courses per semester. But if you're working on a DNP project, you'll probably find yourself spending a lot more time on that outside of those hours too.
Correct. Right.
We have a question from Derek. If I'm considering two potential options as a DNP scholarly project, at what point does this need to be finalized? By the end of, I'm sorry, Derek, is that 70-40 that you put?
It'd be 740. Hi, Derek. So, yes, as an MS coming into DNP, one of your first courses is going to be 740, and you have the 16-week period to pretty much finalize which of the two options it's going to be, because once you have your project proposal defended to your team, the next step is going to be going for the IRB, or the Institutional Review Board permission, which basically just is a formality that all studies go through to protect any population that you have as part of the research that you're doing. And that starts up 741, and you cannot start your project officially until you've received IRB approval. So you will want to have your project pretty much decided by the first 16-week course so that you can move along.
All right, great. Thank you.
Sure. So wherever you are in the process of writing your project proposal, I just want to let you know that I look forward to reading it once it comes through. I enjoy seeing all the different varieties of proposals that are out there and what those issues out there that are really people have a passion for and want to see change.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Hey, everyone. So we've come to the end of the session. If there are no more questions, I'd like to thank each one of you for joining in today. Hope this session was informative and helpful. As a follow-up, we'll email the recording of today's session to you shortly. And if you have any specific questions, please feel free to reach out to your enrollment advisors via email or phone. And we look forward to working with you. Anything you want to add, Andrew?
I just look forward to seeing those essays. It's just a wealth of information out there to know what the problems are in the clinical setting, in the academic setting. It's always fun to see the projects playing out when students are admitted.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of your day.